And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, God Knows What He's Doing. I shall read from the book of Acts, chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for Thy blessings. We thank Thee for the privilege of sharing together the gospel of redeeming grace. I pray for every listener of Worth Baptist Hour today. Thou knowest where they are. Thou knowest their problems, their difficulties, their trials, their burdens for this very moment. Some are ready to give up. Some may be even ready to commit suicide. Some ready to leave home, to close the door behind them, to walk out on their family. I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would arrest them in this hour and help them to know that surely Thou dost know what Thou art doing in their lives. Then, Father, we thank Thee for the rain showers this last week, and we would pray that we might have continued blessings of rain if it can be Thy will, not only in our section but across the nation where drought has smitten so many areas of the country. We pray for that refreshing rain during these days. And dear God, we pray for our capital, Washington, for our president. We pray for our city. We pray for our shut-in friends. We pray for those whose hearts and homes have been disturbed and bothered and discomforted this week by death and sorrow and tragedy and heartaches and problems. We ask, Heavenly Father, that the comforting, consoling power of the Holy Spirit might be theirs. Bless now this broadcast to every listener is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. And now in the book of Acts, chapter 15, at verse 18, we read, Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. The poet said, Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace to fear, to read, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born that read to doubt or read to scorn. The Bible is God's miracle book. There are three miracles that distinguish the Bible from all other books. First, there's the miracle of inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16 declares that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Second, there is the miracle of preservation. It is written in Psalm 119 and verse 89, Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. And then in the third place, there is the miracle of illumination. Psalm 119, verse 105 declares, The entrance of Thy word giveth light. This book, the Bible, God's holy word, claims things to be precious that the world despises, and despises things that the world claims to be precious. Listen again to the words of my text. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. God has always had a direct plan based on a divine principle and executed with a definite purpose. The plan of God as set forth in the Bible is working. The principle upon which God's plan is built is working. And the purpose for which God ordained all things is working. Every formula in the Bible is working. Every principle in the Bible is working. Every precept in the Scriptures is working. They are working through the lives of thousands of people who have put their faith in God and dared to believe His promises. Do you have faith in God? Do you believe His promises? Do you believe God knows what He's doing? I repeat, God knows what He's doing, and every principle in the Bible is working. And that's more than we can say for this world system of ours. For this world system is in chaos. This world system is falling apart at the seams. The systems of this sin-infected world are not working. Man is scrambling to patch up his plans, but they're still faltering and failing. In 1 John 2:17 it is written, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." God knows what he's doing. In my message entitled, "God Knows What He's Doing," I want to share with you three things that God knows about what he's doing. First, God knows what he is doing in the plan he has formulated for mankind. Here's the question. What is the plan of God as set forth in the Bible? Here's the answer. The basic plan of Almighty God from all eternity is the plan of redemption. Now, we observe three things about God's plan of redemption. First, this plan is simple. Oh, the simplicity of salvation. It is written in Romans 10, verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse 13 declares, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This plan is eternal. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." This plan is for all men. I think of God's anyone's. The Bible says, "If any man hear my voice." That's what Jesus said. And in Revelation 22:17 we read, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Yes, God's basic plan is a plan of redemption, and that plan is both simple and eternal and for all men. Secondly, God knows what he is doing in the principle upon which he has established his plan. Someone said, "Methods are many, principles are few. Methods change often, principles never do." Here's the question. What is the one principle set forth in the Bible upon which God established his plan? Here it is, the answer. The one basic principle upon which the entire plan of God is based is this: the principle of giving and getting. Note, I did not say getting and giving. That's the opposite. It's giving and getting. This world system of philosophy begins with the word get. The system of God's philosophy begins with the word give. Now notice three things. First, God had life. God gave that life to a hunk of clay called man. And in turn, God received the whole human race. Notice the second thing. God had energy. God gave that energy to a star called the sun. In turn, God received a beautiful universe landscaped with flowers, grass, trees, rivers, streams, and oceans. Third, God had a son. One son. Only one son. God gave that son to the world, and in turn, God has received millions of sons. It all began with the principle of giving and getting. It's all summed up in one verse of Scripture in the Bible. Do you know where that verse is? The one verse that summarizes God's program of giving and getting is found in Luke chapter 6 at verse 38. Let me read it to you. Listen. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. If you want love, give love. If you want time, give time. If you want energy, give energy. If you want money, and most everybody does, if you want money, give money. What? Giving and giving again, I ask in dismay. Must I keep on giving and giving alway? Oh, no, said the angel, piercing me through. Just keep giving till God stops giving to you. If you want to be rich, give. If you want to be poor, grasp. When the Spirit of the Savior comes in, the spirit of selfishness goes out, and the greedy getter becomes a gracious giver. A man there was, some did count him mad. The more he gave away, the more he had. Some people give according to their means. Others give according to their meanness. How do you give? Basically, there are three kinds of givers. First, there's the flint giver. You have to hammer him to get anything, and all you ever get is a few sparks. Then there's the sponge giver. You have to squeeze the sponge, and finally you'll get a little something out of it. But then there's the honeycomb giver, and he just oozes and oozes and oozes all the time. And that's the kind of giver you want to be, my friend, as you get the principle of giving and getting. Remember, giving comes first. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, the third thing that God knows about what He's doing is this. God knows what He is doing in the purpose He is carrying out in your life. The question is this. What is God's purpose for your life? God's purpose, as set forth in the Bible, for your life, is to conform you to the image of His Son. It is written in Romans 8:29, conforming you to the image of God's dear Son. God is putting together an eternal family. God is preparing you for a permanent residence in an eternal dimension called heaven. And everything that happens to you down here is preparing you for life up there. You see, Jesus Christ lives in you as a Christian. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I am crucified with Christ, and the cross has set me free. I am risen again with Christ, and He lives and reigns in me. Everything God does to you is in His plan of polishing you up so you can look more, act more, and be more like Jesus Christ. As a born-again believer, you have no right nor reason to live for yourself. You were not created for yourself, but for Him. You are here for His glory and His glory alone. Therefore, you must live for Him and Him alone. As a born-again believer, you're on your way to glory. And as you travel, you are a part of God's redemptive plan for others. God does not bless you to make your life enjoyable. God blesses you to make you employable in His service. You see, God was in the world in Christ in the long ago, revealing Himself to all mankind. Now, in this age, Jesus Christ is in the world, in you, revealing God to others. It is the purpose of God to gather all things together in one person, Jesus Christ. That purpose is written in Ephesians 1:10, that He might gather all things in heaven and earth in Jesus Christ. God is doing this through your life each day. He is doing it to His own praise and to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. One day, and it shall not be long, God will finish His holy task. One day He will consummate all things in Christ. One day Jesus Christ is coming to take us home. Until He does, He has admonished us to occupy faithfully. Occupy faithfully until Jesus Christ comes. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. God knows what He is doing this moment in calling you to Himself. Yes, right by your radio, God is calling. Will you answer? God is knocking on your door. God is ringing your number. Will you answer the divine call? May God help you to do it, even in this moment. And say, we would like to have you come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street. Our guest speaker for today is Dr. Curtis Hudson. Our schedule, the Sunday school at 10, the morning worship at 11, and the evening worship hour at 7. May God bless you as you make plans to visit with us today at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Remember, you can receive today's message free and postage paid by simply writing to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. So until next Lord's Day at the same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.